Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second lesson on the theme, Music in Worship. And we're talking about music in Christian worship, music that is authorized by Jesus Christ in His covenant. Now, we'll not review, except just very briefly, our first lesson. We pointed out that Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the object. To worship in spirit has to do with the heart and mind. To worship in truth means according to the word of truth. And we have read aloud every single of the 9 passages in the New Testament that touch upon the subject of music in Christian worship. We've also taken note that there are 2 kinds of music, that which is made by mechanical instruments and that which is made by the voice. But God has been very specific. In every single instance of mentioning of music in worship to God in the New Testament, He has said, sing. He doesn't have to say, don't use instruments, because when God specifies and tells us what to do, that excludes everything else. Let us proceed. Friend, the kind of music used to worship God is not just a matter of human opinion. It's a matter of, thus saith the Lord. God has spoken. What did He say? He said, sing. Now, do we have something against instruments, as if they were morally evil? Why, certainly not. That has nothing to do with the matter whatever. We have instruments in the home. We use them for other events quite properly. But there are many things that were morally acceptable that cannot be used in worship. We can eat ice cream, but not on the Lord's table. We can practice circumcision, but not as a religious rite. We can wash feet, but not as worship. We can play football, but that's not an act of worship to God. And we can play an instrument, but not in worship to God. There are many things that are morally right, but are not included in worshiping God. Oh, but some complain, do we not use a tuning fork? Well, some do. But a tuning fork does not produce music. It produces only a tone, a single tone. Music is defined as a harmonious succession of tones. A tuning fork provides an essential in singing, that is, the pitch. It matters not how you get the pitch. Even so, when the worship in singing is done, the tuning fork is silent. Nobody sings with a tuning fork. The fork only aids in securing the pitch. There's no parallel between a tuning fork and the piano or an organ or a brass band. But someone says we only use the instrument as an aid to singing. It is said to be like songbooks and seats and lights in the building. Friend, an aid is to expedite that which has been authorized or commanded. It is not to add to what has been commanded. For an expedient to be permissible, it first must be lawful. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. And everything lawful may not be expedient, but every expedient must be lawful. There is a law regarding another kind of music, and we are told the kind of music to use. Now, songbooks do aid in singing by providing the words to be sung, but it does not add another kind of music to the kind God has specified, does it? While the seats and the lights may aid in worship by providing a place to sit and the ability to see, it does not add another act of worship, does it? There were lights in the place where brethren worshipped in Acts 20. The mechanical instrument adds, not aids. It produces that which is coordinate with the commanded act. Like when we use slides and charts and maps in teaching the word, we're doing nothing more than teaching the word. When we use a hat or a box or a plate to gather the contribution, we're doing nothing more than giving. When we use one cup, many cups, plates, whatever, in serving the Lord's Supper, we are doing nothing more than observing the Lord's Supper. But when mechanical instruments of music are used, we are adding another kind of music for which we do not have God's authority, And if you can add to what has been said in worship, where else are we permitted to add to God's Word or take from God's Word? There are other arguments put forth sometimes that call for our attention, lest people be deceived in this matter. Some remind us that instruments of music were used by the Jews in the Old Testament. But friend, as we've already said, we're talking about Christian worship, not that which was done under the authority of Moses. Christ is the one who is our authority. He has all authority, Matthew 28:18. The old law has been nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. We fall from grace if we try to be justified by the old law, Galatians 5:4. What we do is to be done in the name of, which means by the authority of, Christ, Colossians 3:17. Under the Mosaic system, there was a special priesthood. There were animal sacrifices. There was the burning of incense. There was the sprinkling of blood. There were special garments and holy days and on and on and on. Are these to be observed under Christ? Certainly not. Hebrews 10:9 shows he set the old covenant aside. Well, one says, what about the Psalms? There are mechanical instruments of music mentioned in them, and that's true. But that was a part of the old law, because Christ said so. In John 10:34, and again in John 15:25. And the multitudes recognized the Psalms as being a part of the old law, John 12:34. When Paul taught us to sing Psalms, he taught that they were to be sung, not played. He did not necessarily demand that the Psalms to be sung were the Psalms of the Old Testament anyway. But we are willing to permit whatever might be found in the Psalms to be used in Christian worship. Are you willing for that? Why, certainly not. Mentioned there are bullocks and altars and animal sacrifices. Do I need to go on? A psalm is a pious song. And when we use a pious song, we are taught they are to be sung. But one says, are not instruments mentioned in Revelation in worship? Would God allow it in heaven and disallow it here on earth? Now that's the argument. Revelation 14:2-3 tells us, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Friend, what was heard? Did they hear thunder? Did they hear waters? Did they hear harps? No. He heard voices as thunder, as water, as harpers harping with their harps. And what were these voices doing? They were singing. Who were they? They were the redeemed from the earth, not still on the earth. And friend, whatever God wants in heaven, that's fine. But there are also bowls of incense in heaven also, but not in Christian worship. The language of Revelation is so often figurative anyway, isn't it? Can you imagine a literal, physical, mechanical instrument of music in the spiritual realm of heaven? Physical things will decay, but nothing decays there. This was a worship in heaven, not on earth, and not applicable to us at this time. And yet some make the argument that the instrument is included in the word solo. Some reject that argument even though they use instruments because they recognize that this would prove more than they want proved. Because if solo includes the instrument, we all must use an instrument to please God. Trying to have music without an instrument would not be acceptable. Everyone is to solo. Everyone would have to have an instrument. 5 times the word solo is found in the New Testament. It's translated 4 times as sing, 1 time as make melody. Whatever solo includes, this is what is commanded of us. There is an instrument involved in Christian worship, all right, but it's not a mechanical one. It's the heart of the mind of man. There was a time in ancient Greek language when solo meant to sing and play. But in the New Testament, according to Thayer's lexicon, in the biblical usage of the New Testament, it means only to sing. And if it includes playing, then Paul and Silas did not obey God's command regarding music and worship when they were only singing in the prison in Philippi. Friend, in Leviticus chapter 10, there were two priests, Nadab and Abihu, and they offered fire unto God, which the Lord commanded not. They were presumptuous in thinking that it made no difference. They might have thought fire was fire. But God had specified, and they did what was outside God's authority, and they were consumed in fire as a result. Is there any excuse for us to offer strange music as they offered strange fire? Are we not doing that which the Lord commanded not? We would like to think that there are those who use mechanical instrument music now who would discontinue that practice if they could only see the error of it. Now, some have thought that churches of Christ were odd in refusing to use instruments of music. But let us look at a few comments from others who have agreed. Now, I do not cite these as authority. You understand that? We've cited the Bible as the authority for what we do. We cite these words of men to show that others have also recognized the impropriety of adding mechanical instrumental music to the worship that God has set. Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, said, "The organ in the worship of God is an ensign to Baal." John Calvin, founder of the Presbyterian Church, "Musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting of lamps, and the restoration of other shadows of the law." Adam Clark, a Methodist Bible commentator, "I am an old man and an old minister, and I here declare that I have never known instrumental music to be productive of any good in the worship of God, and have reason to believe it has been productive of much evil. Music as a science I admire and esteem, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and I here register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of that infinite Spirit who requires His followers to worship Him in spirit and in truth." Well, let's look at Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher of London who preached for 20 years to 10,000 each week. He said, "I would as soon pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery." He never allowed that in his tabernacle services. Alexander Campbell once said, "Such aids would be as a cowbell in a concert." J.W. McGarvey said, "We cannot adopt the practice without abandoning the only ground upon which a restoration of New Testament Christianity can be accomplished." My beloved listener, when we get down to the bottom line regarding mechanical instruments of music, the real reason that some insist upon it is because they like it. It's not because God teaches it. It's not because it's found in His book. It's not because it's authorized of Christ. It's not because there's any substantive argument on its behalf. It's because some like it, they want it, and they are determined to have it. It's entertaining, and that's what people want. Its use divided the growing restoration efforts back in the 19th century and is one of the factors preventing unity among people today. Those who opted for the instrument have continued to erect more and more human innovations on the same platform that allows the instrument, and they've drifted further and further from the truth until they're nothing more than just another denomination among denominations. Friend, when men will speak as the oracles of God, be silent where the Bible is silent, the instrument will never be an issue, will never be heard in worship, will never be defended for worship. And after all is said and done, as for instrumental music and worship of God today, there's just not any divine authority for it. Singing is what pleases God, so let us be content with singing. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.